Hey, why do they call Good Friday good? Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life. We're here to let you know that because of what Jesus has done, God will never be angry at you again. Steve invited our friend Pete Allinson to do the teaching this week. Pete is a former pastor, founder of ForgedTruth.com, and the author of Like Father, Like Son.
Hi, Pete. This has been a fun week. We've enjoyed sitting around, and we've been talking about the resurrection of Christ all week and some of the implications of it. And yesterday, we mentioned that you, in order to get to the resurrection, you got to go through the crucifixion. But today is Good Friday, and it is Good Friday for some very specific reasons. So why don't you read some scripture to us, and then we'll talk about the crucifixion.
All right. You know, in the book of Romans, chapter 4, he ends it by saying about Jesus, "He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God."
Oh, man.
Great verses. Great verses. And how it leads us ahead to that other great beginning of a chapter in Romans chapter 8. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit."
Is that good?
Oh, powerful.
It really is.
Powerful.
And that's why Good Friday is good.
That's right. That's right. It just leads us to that great hope. But the darkness had to happen first. Let me wrap it up, and then do this, the one that both of you and I love so much. What shall we then say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us, who will separate us from the love of Christ. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, just as it is written, "For your sake we were being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord."
Oh, Pete, you know, it makes me want to just be quiet and think about it. That is so powerful. Mm. Now, we can't do that, obviously, on this. We're going to have to say something, but sometimes we forget how incredible that Friday was when he hung on the cross, spread eagle, on cross beams between two thieves.
Mm.
And he did it because of love, because he loved us.
That's right. That's right. There's no other explanation. Why would the triune God want to include us, to redeem us, we who were so rebellious historically?
Yeah, there's no reason. I mean, just the opposite. Mm-hmm. We deserve his wrath and his judgment and his condemnation, and rightly so. And if we got all that, we couldn't say a word.
That's right.
Because we would say, that's just. I don't like it, but it's just. And yet, God, at the right time, died for the ungodly.
That's right. That's right.
That's a major, big deal.
And back to your thought about being more contemplative on Good Friday. Mm-hmm. Many Christians don't go to Good Friday services as much as they used to. And boy, I remember years ago. I mean, really, our culture kind of stopped by noon.
Yeah.
On Good Friday, and you could go to a service or you were off. Stores started closing down even. But it's really good for us to go and to teach our kids to go and to contemplate and to think about the awesomeness of the Son of God taking on human flesh.
Oh, yeah.
And being crucified in our place.
You know, and I think probably it was your idea when you were my pastor, but on our Good Friday services, they had a big cross and hammer and nails.
Oh, man.
And pads of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And people came for it. Was quite moving.
It was
really a big deal. They had this big cross laid across the chancel, and then they had hammers on both sides and nails, and you could write your sins mm-hmm. on the pad mm-hmm. and nail it to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, Pete, I walked away from that service like, you know, I think I'm going to fly. I mean, I am so relieved and free and forgiven and going to live forever. Mm-hmm. And the cross, there was a sense in which the cross even got deeper to me during that service.
Mm, and me too. And even as a pastor, because we talk about these things so much, we traffic in the cross, we deal with justification and all these things so much that it can become too familiar to us. But when I wrote down my sin that I wanted to confess.
You want to tell us which one you
wrote down? No, I mean, I can't remember what it was. There's so many.
You know, I was thinking, I don't want anybody to come up and read this after I write it down. I didn't floss this morning.
You wrote one of Anna's sins down.
Yeah, I wrote Anna's sins down.
But to nail that to the cross and then to kind of go to that Colossians idea that that on the real cross, the certificate of decrees consisting of these curses against us were nailed to the cross because of Christ. And they really were taken away. All the ammunition of the evil one has been stripped away from him. He who is the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us night and day before the throne of God, that's all gone. He really doesn't have any ammo against us.
So we need a day when that's exactly what we think about the cross.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have we softened the cross, do you think, with our little gold crosses and our cross rings and earrings? I mean, we've made it into something that it never was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a curse.
It really was. The early church would never have thought of it being the symbol. They had the fish representative of Jesus Christ,
the
Lord, the ichthus, right? But the cross, perhaps we have, and when I see some celebrities with a cross on, I wonder. But I do know that there are many people that when they wear that cross, it's because of
it's
a
important.
Profound change.
Yeah.
In fact, I got to tell you this. My neighbor told me before Christmas, and he's been coming to our Forge Men's thing for 6 months now. He said the only thing he asked for Christmas, and he's retired, so he's got money, is a cross.
Really?
And he wears it outwardly. And it was because he wanted to make a statement to people that he knows. He wants it to be a conversation piece, that he has a new, fresh commitment to Jesus.
Oh, man, that is so good.
So it can be that.
Yeah, sure it can. I was just talking about how we can be very flippant about it if we're not careful.
We're not careful.
But it can be very, very important. I had a ring that I used to wear that had a cross on it, and I went to Israel to do some research on a book on anti-Semitism, and I had found out that the cross was a place of great fear. For many Jews because of Holocaust and Shoah. And so I had my ring changed. My wife had it changed, and I wore a cross with the ichthus on it.
Yeah.
But you know, people need to recognize that this isn't a play game thing.
Mm-hmm.
This has to do with being forgiven, with living forever, being redeemed, being justified.
Mm-hmm.
What does justified mean?
Yeah. You know, we are declared not guilty through faith in Jesus Christ, based on his work and based on his death, burial, and resurrection. And so it's not that, well, now I'm justified to do whatever I want. You know, Paul deals with that argument, by the way, in Romans 6, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He says, now that Christ has died and rose again and I'm forgiven, I can do whatever I want. No. And in a sense, the cross does serve for us as a reminder that we need to die to our sin and ourselves on a regular basis.
That's true. Pete, this has been a great week. I've enjoyed it as we talked about the resurrection, the fact of the resurrection, the reality of the cross, and the difference that it makes in the world. And the difference is this: Jesus came back from the dead, and that means you can too. You think about that. Amen.
Thank you, Steve and Pete. And with that, we wrap up our special Holy Week series here on Key Life. Thank you for joining us. Remember, if you'd like to re-listen to this series, or, you know, maybe share it with a friend, just stop by keylife.org, where you can stream all of our content for free 24/7. Well, if you're of a certain age, you know the name Paul Harvey and the phrase, "the rat stopped the story." But what about the story of rest? Seriously, when was the last time you experienced the kind of rest that restores? Steve speaks about this in an article called "How to Have a Calm and Quiet Soul" from someone who struggles with it. You'll find that piece in the newest edition of Key Life magazine. You can claim your free copy of that magazine right now by calling us at 1-800-KEY-LIFE. That's 1-800-539-5433. You can also email steve@keylife.org and ask for that magazine. Or to mail your request, just go to keylife.org/contact to find our mailing addresses. Again, just ask for your free copy of Key Life magazine. And one more thing, would you join in the work of Key Life through your giving? Giving is easy. You can charge a gift on your credit card or include a gift in your envelope. Or simply pick up your phone and text Key Life to 28950. That's Key Life, one word, two words, doesn't matter. Text that to 28950. Key Life is a member of ECFA in the States and 4C in Canada, and we are a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.